Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
1-7-7-2-8-2-BEEP.
It's the scary edition of Mailbag Friday on Wretched Radio. How's my acting, Jimmy?
Pretty good.
Good Friday the 13th. Yeah. I'm just shaking in my boots over here because you know what happens on Friday the 13th.
Oh, what?
Whatever God ordains.
That's right.
Pretty much it. Right there. If God ordains it, then it was meant to happen because he determined in eternity past it was going to happen. And the voodoo day of Friday the 13th, it has no power. Walking under a ladder might not be smart, especially if there's a can of paint on the little ledge right there. But there's no bad luck. There's no force out there that controls the number 13. Or if you step on a crack, your mother's back is going to be just fine. Unless, of course, God ordains that it should be broken at the exact same second you step on a crack. Highly unlikely. It's Mailbag Friday the 13th. Please send your wretched things to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to text, feel free to do so. Jimmy, what are we going to be saying in 5 years? If the Lord lets us do this for 5 more years.
Well, I hope he does.
It's going to be pretty soon, I'm telling you, email.
It's going to be like,
email? What are you, like a telegraph? What are you talking about? We don't do that anymore. I wonder if there's going to be something.
Telepath.
Telecommunication from your, yeah, telepathy.
Just tell my brain.
Just, will I have to have a Rolodex of numbers or will it just be in the chip? Yeah. And I can say, call Jimmy. And boom, there you are. And you wouldn't pick it up no matter how I dialed it. The point is, it seems that someday texting will even be passe. 87 in the meantime, 877-282-2337.
This is from Lauren. Todd, I was listening to the Witness Wednesday Q&A at Oklahoma State recently, where you answered a question about the relationship between intellect and feelings for Christians. In essence, you said that learning about God should fuel our love for him. How can I practically ensure that knowledge about God goes to my heart and doesn't just stop at my head?
Oh, sing my song. This is the issue of the day. It's also the issue du jour because this has been a propensity of Christians since the jump. How do we take knowledge, which is the foundation of our feelings? You can't have correct feelings without truth. You need knowledge about God in order to feel correctly. Too many churches, they just go for the manipulated feelings without any truth. However, there are churches that just go for the truth and they do not ever address the feelings that should be produced from that truth. Okay. Jimmy, did I mention we're in 1 Peter?
1 Peter? 1.
Yeah.
Oh,
at Alpharetta Bible Church. Consider it's 6-9, I believe. In this, you greatly rejoice. Okay, here's what a seeker-sensitive church will do that isn't very fond of truth or teaching. We're going to get you to greatly rejoice. So dim the lights, boys. Turn on them fog machines and let's kick in the band with the moon music. And we'll get you to feel, we'll get you to greatly rejoice. We'll get you jumping around because you're going to greatly rejoice. No truth. That's not how Peter addresses the motivation for our great rejoicing. In this you greatly rejoice. In this what? The preceding verses. What are the preceding verses? It talks about that you are an elect sojourner, that you have been saved. I don't know that this has ever been used as an adverb. Trinitarianly. That you are saved by the Father, who determined in eternity past your mind through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's yours. That's yours. Therefore, you have a living hope and you have an inheritance that's imperishable, It's never going to tarnish. It will never spoil. And it is glorious, and it's waiting for you, and God's going to keep you safe until you get there to receive your full inheritance. In this you greatly rejoice. Right there. Truth. All of those things. And for Peter, it was always salvation. It was always about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Think about that. In that you greatly rejoice. So you've got to make sure that if you're looking for feelings, that they are correctly motivated by facts and by truth. And then Peter continues, and he then says, although you have not seen him, you love him. So when we're in this greatly rejoicing, even though you're going through trials and tribulations, when you endure struggles, when you endure tribulations, it is going to produce the fruit of loving him more, trusting him more, longing to see him more. All of that is based on the truth of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Feelings must be informed by facts. But here's the challenge, and I have yet to address the concern of the individual who wrote in. How do you connect it? How do you do that? How do you make sure that that's happening? Well, I think a key word that maybe captures a lot of it, it's not a perfect word because it has baggage these days. You tend to think of Buddhism or Eastern mysticism, but it's a thoroughly biblical term if defined rightly, and that is you meditate. You think on these things. You dwell on these things. You run them through your noggin. You turn them around and you ask them questions. And when you listen to preaching, you ask the questions that hopefully the preacher is answering anyway. What does this look like in my life? How does this affect me? How do I take this knowledge about God and apply it in different circumstances? And then when you start walking through life, you've amassed this knowledge. You've informed how you're supposed to be responding and you implement it. I think that there's another way to connect not just feelings and facts, but your entire life to your faith. I think this would fall underneath that large umbrella. Well, first of all, John Krotz, his podcast, Integrated, that's what it's about, connecting your faith to the rest of your life, Integrated, because we know that this is a massive issue. The book that I just wrote that will be out, I think this fall, it'll be third or fourth quarter, something like that. That's going to be up to HarperCollins, but it'll be out this year. It addresses that very thing. It is to help people connect faith to the rest of their lives. How do you do that? Well, I think maybe this would be a good place to start. Who's responsible for that? Is God or are you? The answer is, I think clearly, exclusively, you are. God gives you everything you need for life and godliness. God gives you everything you need to have your emotions moderated rightly. God gives you everything you need to understand that every aspect of your life is actually about Jesus Christ. Every single thing. Here, I'm picking up a can. Can you hear it? And I just put it down. That was about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And we are the ones who are responsible for realizing that. Why are you shaking your finger at me?
Because you're saying exactly what I'm thinking in here.
Oh, that's scary for both of us when you put it that way.
Yeah, well, no, but what you're saying is exactly right. I think, and I think a lot of Christians, we get this wrong a lot of times, but I think to connect from your head to your heart, what we don't do is we don't take every doctrine that we're learning and connect it to Jesus.
Right.
Everything that we're learning, yeah, it's doctrine, but it's also about a person.
And it should consume us.
Yes.
But the reality is you're already consumed by it. You are. You're just not, if you will, in sync. And I don't mean the boys band from the 90s, whenever they had their hits. You're already immersed in his world. You're locked in to God's system. You can't escape it. You're in. The only question is, will you participate in it rightly? Will you be aware of it or not? And will you live in light of the fact that this is his show and that he has given you the privilege of being a part of his cosmic drama to bring glory, to bring praise and adoration to his son, Jesus Christ? You're in that system. It's up to you to be aware of it. So I think the word meditation is important, not just emptying your brain. That's not meditation. That's mysticism. That's Hinduism and Buddhism. That's mindfulness, which isn't. It's emptying your brain. That's not biblical. You fill it with truth, but you think on it. You dwell on it. So practical things, the sermon, don't just listen to it and walk out the door. And at best, critique it on your way home. Talk about it. Think about it. Write down notes. What does it look like this week? Remind yourself throughout the week. Take a look at those notes. Ask yourself the question, how can I apply this at work today? How can I apply this in the parenting of my children? It's up to you to do those things. And I think the other word that would be related to it is discipline. It doesn't have to be a terrible word. Oh, discipline. It's the most joyful thing we get to do. Think about God. I mean, really. Disciplines. They're so heavy. No, they're not. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And it's a total joy and a delight. And so to try to connect those things, and there's so much more, I know, because I wrote like 22 chapters on the subject. There's more to the subject, but let's start here. Meditation, discipline. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no. Then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This might be a tell. This is Wretched Radio. Just thinking about the book that I wrote about connecting your faith to reality to address the dualism propensity inside of all of us to have this here and that over there. No, 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 no. Not according to Christianity. Your life is Christian. You don't have a secular job. You, my friend, are a royal priest who goes to work every day, performing your functions as a royal priest and doing the stuff that your boss tells you to do. Everything about your life is about Jesus Christ. How do you become aware of that? How do you walk in that? How do you live in that? Well, a lot of people have given prescriptions, and I think a lot of them have been a mess for the most part, where they come up with all kinds of systems that are onerous. And they rarely talk about the liberty that we have in Christ and the joy that we have in Christ. And that being a good Christian, having said all that I've said about how we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to meditate, to be disciplined Christians, we also simultaneously need to remember, if you're not thinking about Jesus for a minute today, that doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It just means you're doing your thing. Now, if that minute becomes an hour, which becomes 12 hours, which becomes the entire day you never think about Jesus, we got problems. But as we go about life, it is okay, I'm currently talking about Jesus, but am I, if you will, thinking about him? Well, to a degree, in that I'm trying to represent his desires for his children, but I'm not personally meditating on Jesus. Am I being a bad Christian? You would go, no, you're just doing what you're called to do at the moment. We need to remember that, because otherwise we will quickly invent a system that has been, whether it's the monastery system, whether it's the Amish system, whether it's the radical life system, whether it's the Watchman Nee system, all become very onerous. And his burden is easy. It's very, very light. And he doesn't want us to be weighed down with this, I've got to be thinking about my Bible every second of every day, or I'm outside of the... Am I thinking about the Bible right now while I'm told thinking about the Bible? Oh, no, I mean, not being a good... Got to find our balance in this. And we can, if we do it as biblically as we possibly can. So the book is called Go Serve Your King. That became really, really clear. It really began as a treatment. It was sort of like Greg Gifford's book. Greg Gifford's book was really started out as a treatment of mind versus brain. And then it turned into Lies My Therapist Told Me, which, you know, kind of a long distance. Now, he's got plenty in there about mind versus brain. That's still the premise of the book. There's a distinction, Christian, between your mind and your brain, the inner man and the outer man. Well, I started out with my book dealing with dualism, Greek philosophical dualism. It became obvious. It's about going and serving your king. So we went with that title, but then the debate begins. You would be shocked at how much time goes into talking about titles, subtitles, and book design. Oh, it's like as much goes into that, frankly, as the writing of the book. Just and everybody's got an opinion. We all think this, and we've got our preferences. And should it be blue? Should it be yellow? Should it be gold? So here's it's Go Serve Your King. And Jimmy, this might be a tell. It's not a great subtitle. I'm struggling to remember it. Let's see if I've got this right. Yeah, I got it. Okay, I got it. Here it is. Go Serve Your King. Extraordinary Purpose. No, it's the key.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the tell has been told. The key to extraordinary living in everyday life. There it is. I think that's it. The key to extraordinary living in everyday life. What's the key? Serving your king. Joyfully serving the most benevolent king. We can't even fathom a king this kind. We get to serve him. That, by the way, will bring some significance to your life. Go serve your king. And that then illuminates every corner of your everyday life. And it gives it meaning and it gives it purpose. No matter how mundane, no matter how boring, no matter how the world looks at it and would scoff, oh, You stay home and raise the children? How quaint. Ah, you don't know what you're talking about, world. This has significance because I'm doing it for my king. So everything that I touch, doing it in service to my king has meaning. It has significance. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what we get to walk out. We'll let you know more about the book, Go Serve Your King, The Key to Extraordinary Purpose in Everyday Life.
That's right. I looked it up, so you did get it right.
Did I get it right? Does it have the key to extraordinary purpose?
Yes, it does.
Okay, then. All righty. Get your copies somewhere someday. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Josh. Todd, can true forgiveness only occur when the other person asks?
A transactional forgiveness cannot. If there isn't a transaction of forgiveness, no. And there is a debate, even in biblical counseling circles, good folks disagree on this subject. For instance, you should know a really good stout guy like Dr. John Street, really great brother. He would say that genuine forgiveness can take place if there isn't repentance. The other side would say, no, because Jesus said you forgive. He didn't identify that the person needed to repent. Now, somebody like John Street would say, well, wait a second. You didn't get forgiveness without repentance. And I affirm that, but I would also say this. Didn't get forgiveness without faith either. And two people who have been going at each other or somebody who has sinned against the other, we don't expect the individual to believe in us before we'd forgive them. The point is, there's good people on both sides of the equation. There must be repentance or there can't be genuine forgiveness. There's still a blot. There's a mark there. The other side would say, no, you forgive because we've been forgiven much. And it's a sign that you're saved, that you're willing to so freely forgive. I'm going to be a peacemaker again. I'm going to bridge that gap so that maybe we don't get caught up in the weeds. And I think the more important issue is our heart anyway. Whether you believe, you fall on the side of John Street or you fall on the side of others that says you forgive even if there is not a transaction, your heart should be like, oh, I am so there. The trajectory of my heart isn't toward, I'm going to wait, not going to forgive until I hear it and they better mean it. No, that's I don't think that should be the Christian heart. The Christian heart should be, oh, if they come to me, I can't wait to say I forgive you because I've already let it go. I don't hold a grudge. I don't harbor this. I'm not going to club them with this. I'm so, even if you want to say willing to forgive, it's a heart that is aimed toward forgiveness. There. So now we don't have to pick sides and we can all get along. Jimmy, you're giving me a face in there.
Well,
which side do you fall on? The John Street side or the other side?
Both.
Well, then why aren't you telling me that I'm being a really good peacemaker?
Well, you are. You are. I know. I agree with you because as you're talking, I'm thinking, why do we have to fall on one side or the other? Isn't that there should be a distinction here? The attitudinal part of it, that's your heart, what you're talking about, that should be unconditional. But the transactional part, that's about your relationship with the other person, and I don't think
I'll play John Street for a moment. Well, okay, I'll play somebody who's on that side. They would say the relationship can't be whole if the issue hasn't been dealt with. And you know what? I think that there's some validity in that. There's some truth in that. I mean, if I punched you in the nose and it's like, well, I'm a forgiver, I'm a forgiving person. Nevertheless, every time I walk by you, you'd be looking at me to go, is he going to hit me in the nose again? You're probably not going to trust me in other things either. So I actually affirm that. I think that it does mar a relationship until that interaction and that transaction takes place.
I agree.
Do I personally think it's needed in order to forgive? I think that I'd fall more on this on the side of we forgive because we've been forgiven much. Do I think that it is very helpful in a relationship to bring the relationship back or even enhance it? To have a transaction of forgiveness, I absolutely do. So I, in a sense, affirm both of those things. Now, if John Street were here, he might punch me in the nose. And then, of course, I'd wait for him to repent before I'd forgive him. The point is, it's the heart. We've been forgiven so much. Oh, we forget, don't we? Oh, we just tend to think of the big whopper sins. God forgave me of that besetting sin. Oh, no. He's forgiven us of so many sins. The standard is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can any of us really say that we've accomplished that for a single second? And yet he forgives and forgives past, present, future, all of it. Pride, our sinful anxiety, because there are two types of anxiety, non-sinful and our sinful anxiety, our worrying about things that we shouldn't be worrying about, our lack of trust in God, the way that we treat other people, the way that we don't share the way that we should, we don't give the way that we should, we don't serve the way that we should, we don't honor him the way that we should, we don't praise him the way that we should. Sin, 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 sin. And he forgives. How can we not forgive others? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A mass shooting that took place earlier this week in Tumbler Ridge, British Columbia, left 10 dead and 25 wounded, making it one of the deadliest in Canadian history. The suspect was identified by family and locals as Jesse Strang, a young man who identified as transgender. Police initially described the shooter as a female in a dress and have since resorted to calling the suspect a gun person because apparently even mass murderer doesn't warrant accurate pronouns in Canada. The New York Times editorial board, the same crew that championed marijuana legalization a decade ago, is now admitting the whole push was built on bad predictions. Nearly 18 million Americans use marijuana almost daily. That's up from a million in 1992. 30% of users meet the criteria for addiction, and research now links heavy cannabis use to schizophrenia in young men. The Times conceded that calling marijuana addiction a relatively minor problem was flat-out wrong. North of the border, Canada's health department has officially declared its Trudeau-era experiment legalizing hard drugs like crack and heroin a complete disaster. Yeah, I think most people could have seen that one coming. The three-year pilot ended January 31st after overdose deaths actually increased 3,300 over a 15-month period compared to 2,800 before the legalization. $820 million taxpayer dollars was spent for what the government itself admitted were minimal results. Yeah, legalized drugs get more addiction and more death. The consequences, as it turns out, doesn't care about your good intentions. And the ideological capture of institution continues to roll on. There's a report from Do No Harm, and it reveals that continuing medical education courses through the American Medical Association are loaded with references to equity, racism, and gender identity, while advanced clinical topics take a back seat. Doctors need these courses to keep their licenses, which means sitting through activism just to keep practicing medicine. On the international front, a Latin American abortion consortium has published protocols for secretly disposing of aborted baby remains while keeping them out of all official statistics, a system designed to erase every trace that these children ever existed. The Trump administration has since defunded organizations involved in trafficking or mishandling human remains. For the abortion industry, ending a life was never enough. They want to make sure no one remembers it even happened. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. And something else that can also be done is you can subscribe to Fortis News so you can get these here news updates sent directly to you automatically every single day. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Pharisee card just got trumped. This is Wretched Radio. We've come up. Okay, when I say we, I mean Jimmy. Jimmy's come up with a new card that you can slap down to win virtually any argument. Typically, it's the Pharisee card. You know, I really don't think that you should be watching that type of entertainment. Pharisee. Boom, they win. Well, Jimmy, you've got yourself another card. Now, this isn't a new card.
No, it's not.
But I think we've just identified it, that it is definitely should be in the stack with the Pharisee card.
It should be.
What's the card?
Well, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with God.
Boom. Argument over.
What do you say to that? You have succeeded.
I'm not telling you that. It's just God's word. You win. You got it right there. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio, hoping that you'll send wretched things to idea@wretched.org. You got yourself another card in that deck? I'll bet we can come up with 52.
Oh, I bet we could.
Easily. You can also text 877-282-2337. Did you see the ShamWow guy?
Oh, recently?
I tried to slow it down. That's what made me think of the ShamWow guy. Because normally when 877-282-2337, nobody ever calls because nobody can ever get the number down fast enough. I didn't want to be like that, but it made me think of the pitch guy, huh? Mr. ShamWow.
Right, with a good beard.
He's, no.
Is that a different guy?
Yeah, how many ShamWow guys have there been? I don't know how that torch gets passed. It's sort of like the papacy. It's a process. So the ShamWow guy, he's in Texas, and he just did an ad. I hope it isn't AI generated because it's the ShamWow guy. He's got the microphone, you know, the head thing on.
Yeah.
And he's talking like the ShamWow guy. About as conservative as you're going to get. It's just, it was like, whoa, pro-life. He talked about wokeness being anti-woke. And then there was a rainbow flag and he erased it like a ShamWow would. I think that's what a ShamWow does. Dude was super conservative. Now, he kind of took some pokes at his opponent, which I'm not sure. What?
Oh, you said his opponent.
Yeah.
So you already know he's running for office. You just said that, didn't you? I didn't.
Yeah, he's running for office. Didn't I mention that?
I think you did.
Campaign commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, he's running for whatever the office is. He, you know, kind of made fun of his opponent, which I think is out of bounds for Christians. We don't need to be doing that. But wow, ShamWow guy? Conservative? Would you have guessed that? Which is why be very careful about your belief in your own perception skills. You know, I have the gift of reading people. Not all the time. There are some cues that people give. There's no doubt about that. But we can't always read. I wouldn't have guessed the ShamWow guy was a conservative. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard you and other pastors and from other pastors that you don't agree with the sinner's prayer. So what steps do you instruct a non-believer who, after hearing the gospel, responds as the rich man in Matthew 19?
Respond as the rich man.
They respond as the rich man.
Oh, they just say, I don't want to, right. I'm out of here?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out of there. You plead with them. You can grab them by the ankles. No, don't go. Please listen again. But if somebody rejects it, they reject it. The reason that I reject the sinner's prayer, it's not the idea that an individual doesn't need to pray. They do. And I don't even think it's terrible to coach somebody. Hey, if you're feeling convicted of your sins, and if you've now come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is your only hope because of what he did on a cross for you 2,000 years ago to save you from the wrath that is to come, then I'd encourage you to call out to God, talk to him. Call it prayer if you want to, but talk to God. You can tell him things like, you're sorry. Tell him you don't want to do that stuff anymore. Tell him that you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Tell him that you're so grateful that he hasn't crushed you and ground you to powder and sent you to hell for eternity. Did I mention eternity? That you want to be in his family. Talk to God. Pour out your heart to God. Give them instructions because sometimes they don't know exactly what to do. They maybe never prayed in their whole life. And if they even ask a question, well, what does that even look like? Talk to God like you're talking to me because he's listening better than I am. So I don't have any issues with that. An individual, they should be calling out to God in repentance and faith. But the sinner's prayer is different. The sinner's prayer is, repeat these thoughts after me. That's a problem. Genuine repentance should be a heart that is broken and undone and should pour itself out to God, even if to us it is unintelligible, because it's not about an articulation as much as it is a conclusion that I am so horrible and God is so good, I would love for him to have mercy on me. And even if that comes out in groans, God hears that. That's what he wants. Not a repeat after me. And the illustration that I think still works two decades after I think I used to talk about this at the Way of the Master conferences. I guess that's what they were called, the Way of Deeper conference about repentance and what it looks like and what it sounds like in the sinner's prayer, which can be akin to a man commits adultery against his wife. He tells his buddy, I'd like to live back in my house again. So the guy marches him up to his house, tells him to ring the doorbell. The wife comes to the door and the buddy whispers into his ear, honey, say it, say honey. Honey, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm asking you into my heart. I'm asking you into my heart. I'd like to make you my wife. I'd like to make you my wife. I've made a decision about you. I'm trying to come up with all the evangelical cliches. I made a decision about you. The wife would go, what are you doing? And who's he? And why is he here? And why are you just parroting his words? How do you feel about it? That's why I reject the sinner's prayer. Has anybody ever been saved from the sinner's prayer? Of course, people have. But I wouldn't say it's because of the sinner's prayer. It would almost be in despite of the sinner's prayer. It's because God is regenerating them. And that's just kind of the way that it played out. But their heart was genuinely contrite. Their heart was genuinely broken. And they were repenting and putting their trust in Jesus Christ. So if you are one who believes you got saved when you said the sinner's prayer, I'm not going to argue with you or try to get you re-saved. But I don't think that therefore is an endorsement for the sinner's prayer. Jimmy, did I get to all of that?
I think you did.
Okay. There were kind of two parts of that. It was the first part was the sinner's prayer business. And what was the second, the ending of that?
Yeah. How do you instruct a non-believer who, after hearing the gospel, responds just as the rich man in Matthew 19?
Yeah. You know, you can't put a gun to their head. That's not our religion. Somebody else's religion. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, it seems that there is a movement in some mainstream churches with men smoking cigars and drinking whiskey, supposedly to the glory of God. Yeah. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I just think it's a horrible trend. That's what I think. If you have the liberty to do such things, you do them. But you have to know that there are people who are offended by those things. We're not supposed to boast in our liberty. We're supposed to use it judiciously so that we don't bring offense. We don't cause anybody to stumble. We don't water down somebody's convictions on these issues. It's not something that should be bragged about. If you believe that you have the liberty to do those things, you always must exercise your Christian liberty in light of others. And that means if your liberty causes somebody else to be bugged, we give it up. And if you're not willing to, it is an almost sure sign that your liberty has got control over you and not vice versa. I've seen this before. I will state very clearly, I do believe that you have the liberty to drink alcohol. Just so you don't get drunk, you can drink alcohol. Let's just stick with alcohol instead of cigarettes. So just, I believe you've got the liberty. But if I said to you, hey, bro, for my sake, would you please stop drinking for 60 days while we're on this missions trip? Would you please do that? If you're like, hey, I got the liberty, you're a Pharisee and I've got the liberty and I'm going to exercise my liberty. That would be a sign that you don't either understand Christian liberty or you're in bondage to your liberty, because we should be willing to give it up because it doesn't mean anything to us. It's just not that important. It's not a thing commanded or forbidden by God, and it doesn't control me. And if you're not willing to give up your liberty, I would simply encourage you, ask the question, is that a sign that the tail is wagging the dog here? And that maybe I'm actually in bondage to this sin? And this mingling of alcohol during worship services and smoking, I'm sorry, that has absolutely no place in a worship service. No place. These, what are they, beer church is what they call them, I think. Is that trend ever going to die? God doesn't want beer being drunk in the church. How do I know? Because he didn't say he wanted it. We let him regulate worship. He's the one who tells us what elements are included in worship. And I've pretty much checked the entire Bible. I can't find a verse that says, during worship, I want you to have a martini. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means? Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that. Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine, but somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten, and we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation. He has the right and the power to govern all things according to his will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in his sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you say Tifa? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you heard us discussing a communist term that was coined to advance a really bad idea through sloganeering. It's called Tifa. It's a statement that is, it's got a lot of emotion packed into it. Whoa. Yeah. And any disagreement makes you look like you're bad. For instance, love is love. Well, I'd like to talk to you about love is love. Don't you want people to love? Don't you believe in love? Bad guy. That would be a Tifa. Black Lives Matter. Regarding Black Lives Matter, there's don't you think that Black Lives Matter? Yeah, but see, the group that's behind them, and they do it all the time. Billie Eilish did it. Hillary Clinton does it. And now I'm at YouTube and Jon Stewart does it. I was looking for the commercial by the ShamWow guy. And instead, and what I found as I'm looking for the ShamWow commercial is Atifa. This is Jon Stewart. The video has been seen 3.7 million times 15 hours ago. There's actually two baked into one headline. See if you can hear them. Trump defends racist Obama meme. Trump defends racist Obama meme. No, he didn't defend the meme. He defended his innocence in posting the meme, claiming that he didn't watch the entire thing. And at the end, where a really racist image of Barack and the wife, Michelle Obama, Michelle Obama appeared at the end. He said, I didn't see it. Okay, believe him or not, he wasn't defending the racist meme. That's just, that's sloganeer. That's just misrepresentation. And I even look bad trying to defend Trump, defending himself, claiming that he didn't even watch it because you don't want to look racist, do you? But here's the second one. And MAGA rages over Bad Bunny's Spanish halftime show. No, we're not. We're raging because, first of all, the guy, it was feared, would be crude and crass and sexual. Oh, yeah, he was crude and crass and sexual, just as we were concerned about. That was the issue. And I also happen to think that it's fair that a halftime show at an American football game was done fully in Spanish, where the national language is English. I think that's a reasonable conversation to have. And I don't know that anybody's talking about this, but in my estimation, there was a clear woke agenda behind this. Not to mention all the sexual filth and all of those things that were going on. That's what we're raging against. Not over a Spanish halftime show, because what does that say? If you're opposed to Bad Bunny, you're racist. That is just really Tifa. That's what it is, Tifa. And now, Mr. ShamWow.
Hey, it's Vince.
I'm going to soak up the swamp
and pick up those liberal tears at the same time.
Vote for me so I can represent the ones that can't stand up for themselves.
Vote for ShamWow!
Paid for by Offer Vince ShamWow Shlomi for Congress.
Oh, I'm exhausted. You couldn't see that, but it was an ultrasound at the end. It appears the guy's at least pro-life and he understands what woke is. The ShamWow guy. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The ShamWow guy running for office. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, is there a danger in taking scripture out of context when making parallels?
Well, yeah, because you don't have a genuine parallel. If you're going to use this to say it's sort of like that, but it isn't, then yes, of course, then you're really misusing scripture. I would actually throw a real serious yellow flag at that. That would be not only not okay, that would be a great big no-no. Don't forget Herman Hu. It is a 12, maybe 13 lesson course on biblical hermeneutics. It's free. I'm so delighted to tell you it's absolutely free. It's at fortisplus.org. Everything there is free and you can access it and you can sharpen it up. For free. Did I mention it's free? Your hermeneutic skills, because it's free at fortisplus.org. I could say that like the ShamWow guy, but then I would be agitating even myself. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Last week, Todd, you shared your thoughts on biblical grounds for a divorce. I would love to hear your thoughts on the biblical remarriage.
Well, you're not going to get them. Because if I shared them, I'd wreck something. Why? Because this is a tailor-made conversation that has to take place. Do I believe that people who have been biblically divorced can get remarried? Yes, I do. Because the covenant has been biblically dissolved because of the behavior or the death of somebody. So yes, you can get remarried. Now, why do I not want to get into the specifics? Because almost certainly there would be somebody listening who has been divorced and remarried. And if I can't address every angle of this, I'm going to mislead or I'm going to hurt somebody. And I don't want to do either of those things. If you're in that situation, I would encourage first, individually, study your Bible on the subject of marriage and divorce. study it for yourself. Then if you're concerned about your actions and if you did things right or not, please then meet with your pastor so you can walk through the details. There are so many scenarios involved. I'm sorry I can't do better for you, but I think I'm doing better for you, because I think I would only wound you if I didn't zip it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ryan. Todd, if a person declines to agree to a medical procedure that could prolong life but be detrimental in other aspects, is that decision a sin?
Well, I need to know what those other things are. And it all, I think here's a rule. And again, this is kind of dicey territory because we're talking about end-of-life issues here. And making a determination about whether somebody lives or dies, a gazillion scenarios also, but I think I'm on safe footing by sharing this principle. There is a difference between doing something to intentionally take your life and doing something to expedite the end of life. That's the line. Furthermore, there's the issue of, is it, I think, generally accepted by the individuals that are circling the person's deathbed that God is clearly bringing their life to an end? Is that, it's like, yep, that's happening. Then I don't think that you need to feel bad about not doing procedures to extend something that is so immediate and inevitable. Again, details are going to be important in this. You got anything to add to that, Jimmy?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think there can be a distinction in the two, and it can be subtle, but you got to know what it is.
What's motivating an individual to not want to live anymore?
Yeah.
If it's something like, you know, if it's something, for instance, I've just given up, I don't have anything to live for anyway, I would talk that person out of it and try to encourage them to get that procedure. If it's something along the lines of, this procedure is going to extend my life by 2 weeks, and I'm going to be in a coma for 10 of those 14 days, you know, whatever the details are, there's a difference between expediting your death and not taking advantage of a medical procedure that could potentially prolong it. Is it an always crystal clear distinction between the two? No. And that is why you need a lot of wisdom. And I hope you would involve your pastor. Then this is exactly where pastors should shine and should be a part of your life. Does your pastor need to be involved in you making a decision about whether to get a two-door or a four-door? No, because every good pastor knows a four-door is obviously more practical, and two-door indicates you're probably going through a midlife crisis. That's just not needed, that type of advice. You need it on the deep stuff, the profound stuff, the big stuff. Oh, Ben was teaching on Thursday nights, and he said, the bigger the issue, the bigger the consequences, the more time spent working through the biblical steps of making a decision. Because you don't need to labor, like, okay, do I get a sprinkle cone at Dairy Queen? Actually, they don't make sprinkle cone. Crunch coat is what they were called. I think the people are getting sick from them because the ice, it would deflect off of the ice cream, and it would become they discontinue. The point is, do you get the caramel dip or do you get the chocolate dip? You don't need to walk through the biblical steps. Now, you're thinking about buying a Dairy Queen franchise? Yeah, then you should take a whole lot more time. And by the way, if I could do a shout out, this, I think I've done this once before, but it's worth repeating. We tried to do something at Alpharetta Bible Church for our midweek Bible study, and I think it worked. We decided we wanted to do something that was not just, okay, everybody sit down, Bible study time. We wanted to cultivate fellowship. Come early, bring your own food, hang out, bring the kids. You can play the piano if you want to. Maybe we'll sing a song. Maybe we won't. We'll take some prayer requests. We watched a video from Fortis Plus. Everything is free there, by the way. And then we have somebody lead a discussion about it. It has been magnificent. It has been so much fun, and it's been so sweet, and we're praying for each other. We're getting to know each other more. We're talking about important subjects. Oh, it's just been... So if you're looking maybe for a way to kind of zip up your midweek or your Sunday school, this might be a way to do it. We've got all of these resources for free, and all of the study guides are there. You don't even need to do no work to get ready, and it might just be something that energizes your midweek or your Sunday school. Did I mention it's free at fortisplus.org? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.